This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Legal disclaimer. We are not responsible for how you feel. Get over yourselves. I don't know.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Every day can't be the best day. Do what you can right now, don't hesitate. That's why we try to make love and get paid. Take the bad with the good, now let's play. Every day can't be the best day. Do what you can right now, don't hesitate. That's why we try to make love and get paid. Take the bad with the good, now let's play. Hell no, I ain't going to school. The teacher's a jerk, he must think I'm a fool. And all the kids mess with each other, always, all day. Class warfare up and down the hallways.
All right, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I have to thank you first and foremost for spending a little time with me, doing whatever it is we do here. We talk shit, we discuss things, our feelings aren't your responsibility, all that kind of stuff. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly appreciate it.
And vice versa, your feelings are not our responsibility either, so fuck off.
All right, so that's where we're going today. If you haven't already figured out, I have a guest here in the building with me, live and in the flesh for the first time. And yeah. It feels like longer than I think is. No, it's been like a year.
Because COVID happened.
Yeah, so it's been more than a year since we chopped it up face to face.
Since we've seen each other face to face, and I believe the first time we did this was, more than a year ago also, in Boniface, baby. For all those who don't know, you will never know. And for those who do, we thank you for being a part of those times of our lives.
Yes, I got the homie MF with me. You know, we've done other things together, but this is a special occasion because, like I said, it hasn't been face-to-face in a minute. Man, I had a whole, like, slate of shit that I wanted to talk about that I'm probably going to scrap. But I will do my normal Chef Elise updates because I did have my daughter this weekend, and some interesting things happened this weekend. And
what MF, are the deets on the Chef Elise?
Yeah, feel free to chime in at any time. I had some dope experiences with my daughter this weekend, and not food related, because normally we cook something, and I've been in the space where, like, the weekends with my daughter just seem to, like, pop up on me. Like, I know it's happening, and now they're, like, spaced out 2 weeks every other week.
Right.
And it's still like when that Friday is coming, I'm like, oh shit, you know.
Here it is, damn it.
Here it is. So I haven't like planned out recipes. I think last week I wanted us to do like chocolate pudding in the instant pot.
I can't wait to see how that happens because I just don't know how that's going to take place. I could imagine making like maybe like a falafel fudge sponge cake or something.
A falafel fudge.
Say it.
No, I'm not.
It doesn't work. Falafel fudge.
Sponge cake. Don't know how you came up with that. But no, we were going to do chocolate. That's why the whipping cream is in the.
So you're going to get pudding out of that.
Yeah. You can make all kinds of stuff in that thing, according to the thing. You can make yogurt in there, according to the
thing. We're going to find out.
Yeah. It does yogurt, sous vide, all that fun stuff.
What you call me?
Don't worry about it. You know, I don't speak that. Anyway, that was racist. But my feelings are not your responsibility. But so I had some dope experiences with her this weekend. I took her, we went to the pool, which she loves doing. She had her floaties and she had a great time in the pool. And then we went to a movie. This is the first time me taking her to a theater by myself. First time us really going out and doing something post-COVID. Go ahead.
Movie title. What'd y'all watch?
We went to see Boss Baby 2, whatever that's called.
Oh, that's right. You were telling
family business. Family business. Something
I think
like
it
that.
Might be. I think it might be a kind thing for you to share that experience too. At some point, maybe not this talk, but you know, at another future date. I think it was a beautiful thing that you told me about Elise and her response to what she witnessed in the movie and your conversation that you had with her thereafter.
We'll break that out right then, because and it has something to do with the story I did want to tell. But like, you know, as a parent, like there are oftentimes you see things in your kid that you know came from you.
Sure.
And I will say, in my experience, the vast majority of those moments where I see things in Elise that I know are mine are not positive experiences. I'm like, shit, she got that already? Like, oh, man, she's, you know, like, I got to deal with that part of me from somebody else. Like, I got to deal with that bullshit. But this weekend was a couple of dope ones. So one of them was during the movie. So we're in there, and she's adjusting to it pretty good. You know, she dealt with the dark. She doesn't really do loud noises. So I've been kind of concerned with her on the spectrum with that.
For clarity, for those listening who may not know, age?
Six. It's 5. Oh, shit. She will be 6.
Right, gotcha.
In my mind, she's 6.
Gotcha.
She wears a 6, whatever that type of shit is. but we're in the movie, and there's a scene in the movie where I don't want to give the movie away. Not that I expect any of y'all to go see Boss Baby 2 or be concerned about having the story spoiled, but there's a scene. There's two characters in sort of a compromising situation, and they're trying to get through the situation without getting caught. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot going on. They're flying around doing all kinds of crazy animated stuff, and my daughter Elise, like, she couldn't deal, and so she put her mask, you know, because we're out, we got to wear masks certain places, not in the theater, but she put her mask over her eyes, and she was, like, hiding from this section of the movie, and, you know, immediate dad thought is she's scared, you know, and I'm putting my arm around her and everything, trying to console her, and it wasn't until after the movie that we were talking about it, and I asked her, you know, why she was scared, or what, you know, what was it that she didn't want to see?
Right.
And her response to me was, I was afraid of them getting caught. And what resonated for me with that was that, like, she is severely empathetic. Like, she could not separate herself or her feelings from the feelings she expected the characters on the screen were going through. And it hurt her. Like, she felt bad that something bad might happen to them. And she was afraid. As if she was in that. And she was afraid for it to happen.
Right,
like,
right.
She didn't want the bad thing to happen to them. It wasn't going to happen to her. She's not in the movie. None of the characters in the movie look like her. Mm-hmm. Not like she could identify readily with a character in the movie. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she was watching and that something bad could possibly happen to these other people was, like, affecting her on a personal level to the point where she couldn't even look at it.
And that is where I commend the fact that there are still good things that take place in this world.
It's a super dope moment. And it's also very scary because, you know, you and I had a talk earlier about, like, some of the things emotionally that occur to people, you know, who share heart disease. And we don't have to get into the debate about whether or not it's a disease
and
or not.
And I am stressing it. Who share our situation.
You
know, the recovering individual.
Yeah, and part of it is, like, that extreme emotionalness, for lack of a better word. And I remember being like that as a kid. And the reason I can't watch horror movies to this day.
Really?
Is not so much, I'm not a big horror movie dude. Like, first of all, let's just get this out of the way. What type of insane, sick person do you have to be to pay to get scared? Like, that shit doesn't make sense to me. Like, shit is scary. Like, I don't. Why would I pay to feel an emotion like that?
Did you know the crazy part about that? Side note, but on the same subject. Did you know that if you were to take a date with you to an amusement park or to walk on one of those clear bridges over a canyon, the sense of fear with your companionship would heighten the sense of love? Have you heard this before?
I've heard that, like, people after stressful situations... like that's a turn on, like, you know, people,
in a weird way.
I guess
not in a weird way. I guess there's a natural way to it. But anyhow, I didn't want to sidetrack and derail.
That's why makeup sex is the thing. You get into a big fight. You get into a big fight. Things is gonna happen. I've used this before.
You been pounded out.
But let me try to segue that back to my daughter.
Bring it back,
it's a weird segue. But yeah, like, yeah, that so that worries me about her. Like I feel like she has that level of empathy and that level of like associating with emotions, and not just her emotions, but the emotions of others and being like connected. It's a beautiful thing, but it, you know, it's one of them things that recovery has taught me to just keep an eye on.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Like, I acknowledge
because it can run awry.
Sure, most certainly.
It can run awry. I'm glad that she has it. I'm glad she cares enough. She cares so deeply about people, even fictional animated people. but I'm scared about it.
Do you remember the first movie you shed a tear to for something sad?
Man, I don't know.
Age range.
I don't know. But I will tell you, the moment I found out I was having a girl.
Oh, wow.
Like movies with little girls in them and movies with parents in them. Just, I almost shed a tear during Boss Baby. I'm going to be honest with you.
Bro, I'm going to tell you something. So for me, after finding sobriety and becoming a member of, you know, the clean world, right? I started to find that I too cried at the most potentially menial things to other individuals on movies that others probably would be like, what the fuck's wrong with you, bro?
I tell you right now, a scene that makes me cry every time is, what is it? Is it?
It's the name of the movie. It is
Big Daddy.
Okay.
And there's the scene where the kid is.
I know what you're going to say.
The kid's being taken from him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know.
I know how to say ass.
Oh, no, I can wipe my own ass. But the part, the line that gets the tear for me, I don't even like the kangaroo song anymore. Like that shit gets me. And that's just some, I guess, some dad type shit.
I'm the peppy.
Yeah. I'm the peppy. I'm the daddy, sir.
So, go ahead.
First thing that I remember shedding a tear to, I was in the fourth grade. And it was the movie La Bamba. Richie Valens. Yeah, he said La Bamba. I love you, dog.
Is that racist?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. That's what your ears hear. You know what I'm saying? But when Richie Valens died and his mom and his brother were shedding tears, not my Richie. And if you could plug in like that thing here, bro, so I'm watching the movie with my mom. We're just laying in bed watching a movie, and that part happens. Look at me while I do this. Like, my mom's over here, and I'm just like, start rolling out the bed, and I walk around the foot of the bed, like, trying to not let her see me. She was like, Papi, are you okay? Mom, she was like, Mijo, it's okay to cry. And it really hit me, and that was the first time that I remember that happening. And that makes me think of Jackson, right? My significant other's son. He is that type of kid. He is that in tune, and wow.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Like with Elise and what you were talking about just now, like that. It's a beautiful thing to watch it happen.
It's so funny for me, like, because if it wasn't for the fact that you are Latino and that's your mom that you're talking about, that just felt like the most racist thing. Are you okay? Like that.
Are you okay, Papi? So Jackson, right?
Yeah.
I am Hispanic, Dominican, and Puerto Rican. My fiance is white. Therefore, her son is white also. Like, dad was white too.
Okay. Makes sense.
But he's like, so my kids, though, like, I'm Dominican and Puerto Rican. Their mom is white. They're half, you know, half white, half Latino. Half Hispanic, however anybody. I found something out too, down south while I was in Corpus. Another story for another day. But like the Mexicans down there, Mexicans to me, right? Don't like Mexicans from Mexico, and they don't consider themselves to be Mexicans. They consider themselves to be like Texican. One told me, one of them said Chicano. One of them said something else, and they were like, "No, fuck that! I don't like those people, man. Like they come across the border and they take my jobs and they take my women." And I was
took
like,
her jobs.
Yeah. But anyhow, so we were staying the night together. We were having a family weekend last weekend, and we were in Salado spending time at a, you know, just off the wall place in the middle of nowhere with a pool, order some pizza, you know, just family time. Beautiful. And we're all past laying down in bed. Lights are out. It's time to go to bed. And my son Roman says, "It's me, grandma. Time to go to bed." Because grandma in the house does that, papi. It's me, grandma. So Jackson, you talking about, I felt like that would have been the most racist thing hearing what I was saying. Jackson's like, it's me, grandma. Time to go to bed. And he's doing it now. And him and my son, Roman and Viviana, they have a coin on an imitation of grandma, who happens to be from the Dominican Republic. And man, I just want to put a shout out to my mama.
Yeah, I love.
She's the
bee's
knees.
Moms is cool people, and I am going to get to the second part of the Elise story, but yeah, we got a segue. No, natural segues. Shit happens. funny story, you know, for people listening to this, I hung up on MF's mother once.
You what?
I hung up on her.
You hung up on her.
Hey, it was that time she was calling the house to tell us.
You hung up on my mom?
Oh, your mother.
Oh, Lord. I remember this.
She was calling the house to inform the house of the situation that you were in, and I didn't understand what she was saying. Like, I couldn't. Her accent was that heavy that I really couldn't understand what she was saying. And I think she was asking to speak to me. I think I'm the name that she knows from the house.
Yep.
She was asking to speak to me, and like my mind is just like, you know, a person that don't really speak English that well asking to speak for me. That's a telemarketer. So I'm like. So she said it a couple of times. At one point, I may have said, like, this is he. And then I don't know what else she said. That I do this to telemarketers. Like, I'll say, yeah, you're talking to Jared. And then let him start talking and then just hang up.
She wasn't like, it's me, grandma.
No. I think if she had mentioned your name, maybe that had done it. Maybe I wouldn't have understood it at all.
That one's a clear one. She pronounces my name like German people pronounce it, Alexander.
But I straight up hung up on moms and I think I talked to her later. But we cool now.
Where was I at?
You know where you was at. Well, I'm not gonna talk about it on
the No. Was this like after?
No. I think you were
Sage?
No. This was you got picked up for something.
Oh.
I think it was that situation. Oh. That situation. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I still don't remember. There's been so many situations.
You went up there and to see you.
Oh, yeah, dog. You know what? Bro, that was a moment. So I had to go visit. Can I?
Go ahead.
I know. Okay.
You can tell your business. I'm not telling you.
So I've been on a probation for a situation that I got. I broke the law. Like, I committed a crime. I got caught.
That's normally why people are on probation.
Right. Correct. It's not because you hit the lotto. It's because how you spent your lottery money, you vagabond. And so I was in town. I think I went back, right? At that point, I was living. Like, I went back because COVID happened.
No, this was before. You were supposed to come back to the house and nobody had heard from you.
That's right. So I think maybe it's my first time spending time with the family again after getting into Boniface.
Yeah.
For a weekend. I got like, yo, guys, I'm rolling. They're like, yeah, boy, go roll. And I'm like, I'm here. Family time. It's going down. What? And me, Viviana, Roman, my two children, my grandma, my mom, their grandma, we roll to see my probation officer. At this time, I am still on felony deferred adjudicated probation for my crime and drug related offense. You know, we're in recovery. Man, I walk in there. I'm sitting down doing my face to face check in. And she's just being all calm, cool, and collected. Next thing you know, two officers walk up to the door. She didn't say a God blessed thing about it. And she was like, Mr. Fuentes, they're here to take you. And I was like, what?
Fuck!
Yeah, one more time. Give me that.
Fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. I was like, yo, y'all, as they're ratcheting me back in the back of the back. Back of the backpack and the back in the back of the act. And I'm like, yo, man, like, we were spending family time together. I asked you. Like, I was like, I'm in tears. I asked you if I was going to jail today.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
I asked you if I was going to jail today. Mr. Fuentes, I couldn't tell you. You'd run. I wouldn't have. I promise you, but I wouldn't have brought my kids with me. You know what I'm saying?
I like your imitation of the crying voice, which is not quite steady.
Yeah, you know. It's So I was like, I pulled, and the officer yanked on my chain, but I got him to follow me. I said, you see that car right there? In there is my mom and my two children. Somebody needs to go tell them. So the officer was kind enough. This gentleman happened to be Hispanic as well, so they excused me out a different door, carried me and put me in their patrol unit and took me down to the clinker in the county of Bill. And yeah, so here's where I was going with this. I just met with I've been stepped down from drug caseload to like regular criminal probation, right?
Okay. Graduated as a regular criminal.
Bro, I graduated from, you know, drug offender, you know, crimes to we kind of consider you to not be a drug offender now, but we still don't trust you. So make sure you check in. This is the first time I'd met with this lady face to face, and her and I hadn't communicated in 2 months almost. So my thoughts are, it's going to happen again.
You got some PTSD about that?
I do, bro. That's not comfortable stuff, man. Like, I've had to sit in the feds for almost 3 months. I've had to sit in county for around the same time, 2 separate occasions. And it's not a comfortable feeling. And to have your whole life pulled out from under you, right? And it's not that my whole life was pulled out from under me, but all my freedoms were. What freedoms I do have in the free world. Anyhow, I went this time and I was like, God bless. Dip, 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 dip. Jamie, I love you, babe. And this may not be the case. This may just be my PTSD acting up. But I might be having to not be able to call you after I meet with my probation officer. Just be aware if you don't hear from me.
If I don't come home.
Yeah, put some money on my books. Right? And I told my mom the same thing. And then I'm meeting with this probation officer for the first time. And we're sitting in there. And this lady's being all calm, cool, and collected again. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen this fucking gambit before. I know what's going on here. I ain't playing with you. Just get to the beef. Let's go. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that. I'm being calm, cool, and collected. But on the inside, like, I got my knuckles up. And I don't know. She starts to help somebody else. And, like, it turns out to be 45 minutes into this session that was supposed to be, like, a 15, 20-minute session. Then it turns into an hour. My mom comes. She's knocking on the glass window. Hello? Is my song here? And I'm like, ma'am, can you go... Mom, again, he I know love here. You. I've gotten so much more from you than I deserve. I bless you. I praise you. I thank you. And Dad, you guys rock. But God, that feeling, man, I'm glad. So I was able to secure the bag, right? And it wasn't a financial bag. It was a bag of freedom. I was able to check in, get my thing going, and everything's good right now, you know? So
we're grateful and happy for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, big ups to that. And then, whew, sigh of relief, here we are. I will shut my bigot mouth. Thanks a lot, Mos Def and Talib Kweli.
We're going to get to that.
My buddy.
We're going to get to that.
My buddy. Okay, go ahead. Chef Elise, right. Second round.
Second part of the Chef Elise star. Second time I saw a piece of me and my daughter, and it was super dope. So she loves these videos. I don't know if this is like a new YouTube culture thing, and I'm guilty of it too. I watch unboxing videos.
Oh, really? But she's digging that?
She's digging the unboxing stuff.
Like general, like toys or just...
But yeah, toys. So they're, okay. They're just like straight up videos of people unboxing these toys. And they're like, I guess the LOL dolls, and they got the LOL surprise dolls. You don't know what's in the baggie, and they open the baggies. So, you know, I only get her every so often, and I'm feeling a certain kind of way because, you know, I don't see her every day. I don't get to wake her up. I don't get to put her to bed. I don't get to have, like, you know, those moments. And I talk to people about, like, you think you know what love is. I think until you have a child, you don't really know what love is. Like, even the way you love your partner or even the way you love your parents or you love anybody is so much different. Like, I have never wanted a person to like me as much as I want this little girl to. Like, it feels so immature. Like, it feels so, like, I just want to be cool. I just want you to think I'm cool so fucking bad. I'm always trying to impress this little girl, and she ain't impressed by shit. Like, she don't give a fuck about anything. It'd be dumb stuff that I do. She's like, Daddy, you're the best. But I'm trying, like, it don't never work. So this day, I'm like... I looked this up, and this is how much I want my daughter to like me. When I decided I was going to take her to a movie, I looked it up to see if there was a toy store in the mall.
Local area around there?
Yeah, and I know I'm not telling her we're going to the toy store, but I know we're going to the toy store. So we left the movie. And another weird thing about kids is you're never aware of, like, things that are the first time for them. Yeah. You know? And so this shit happened, and it was really weird. It's been a great day. My daughter's 5 too. She's almost 6. She's about to start kindergarten. And you know, you think you're out of that like first stage, and then we walked up to an escalator.
Oh, what did it do? How did it go?
It freaked her the fuck out. Like, she did not know how to react to this. I never seen that kind of fear out of her. Like, she was legitimately afraid of this thing, I guess, with metal teeth, and it's moving, and I'm supposed to get on it.
It's a Leviathan.
And I'm supposed to survive. And, like, it's normal for us, because you've been getting on escalators your whole life. And I can't remember the first time I got on an escalator. And I didn't remember that maybe she hadn't been on an escalator before. And so I had to do the whole dad thing, like, oh, it's going to be fine. You know, dad would never let anything bad happen to you. I got your hand. Come on, let's 1, 2, 3, let's jump on.
That's it, yeah.
And, you know, and she got on it, and you could see that joy. Like,
her face lit up.
Lit up, like she did something. She was proud of herself, and she rode down the escalator. And I think now she probably would want to ride escalators nonstop for the rest of her life, because that was just...
She's like, I got this shit.
The most fun she's ever had.
She won't tell you that, but that's what she says.
We went down the escalator. And it was called Toy Town. Like, you want to go to Toy Town? And that's a dumb question to ask a kid, because of course they want to go to Toy Town. So we went to Toy Town. So we're in Toy Town, and the whole object of this outing was to get, so she could see a LOL thing, pick it out, and I could buy it and be cool dad that did this thing for his little girl. Mm-hmm. So we're walking around Toy Town. And the whole time we're in there, she's picking up stuff, and she's, I'm not buying that. I've got one of these. I'm not buying that. I'm not. And everything she saw, she was like, she would look at it, she would think it was cool, and then come up with a reason for why she's buying that, why she wasn't buying that. And she had like 14 cents in her pocket that she had found it around the house. She thought she had a lot of money. But she was still like, nah, I'm not buying that. I was like, that was one of the moments where I saw a piece of me and my daughter, because I'm cheap as fuck.
Like, my man.
I ain't buying nothing.
Keeping it real.
Well, let me.
When keeping it real goes real.
Let me be real. Like,
for real.
If I have $100, I don't want to break the 100. I don't want $99.99.
Sure.
I want $100.
Yep.
And so I'll be in the store. I ain't buying that. But once I break that $100, once I have $99.99, all bets are off.
I'm done with it.
Yeah, like, we might as well.
Let's rip it.
We might as well rip and tear. Like, let's go. But it was cool to just be in a store with my daughter, wanting to buy her something, and her just being like, nah, I ain't buying that. I got her something, and she wanted to pay for it with her 14 cents. And I was like, I got that. You can keep that in your pocket. But go ahead, bro.
What was the name of the store?
Toy Town.
Toy Town. Okay. Today, on our way here, just side note, Toy Joy, bro.
Toy Joy?
Yeah. Jamie was like, this place called Toy Joy. We found it at another place. She thought it was at another spot. She was like, hey, we got to go check it out with the kids. And man, we found it. We drove by and the kids were like, there it is. Downtown Austin, bro, on 2nd Street in Guadalupe. Like, you can't park anywhere around there. And we were driving a big old Ford Expedition this time. So, yeah, we were like, we'll come back next time, kids. We love you. And about what you were saying with Elise on the escalator, right?
Yeah.
And that experience, you'd mentioned you never know, you don't remember like the first time experiences, right?
Yeah.
And I've gone through on a regular basis with my children this statement right here. The greatest meal ever, right? Dad, this is the greatest dinner ever. It's better than this one, better than that one. And when they say this one, that one, when I say that, no. They give the details. That one time when with this thing and we drank this, right? And I would be like, oh, I'm so flattered. Thank you so much. And then eventually I was
so,
like,
so racist.
Yeah, so racist to your own race. So then eventually I was like, you know, all right, dudes, y'all said that last time. Yeah. But here's the thing. Every time is a new experience in some form or fashion. And this thought came to me today while eating at Kirby Lane with Jamie, Jackson, Roman, Viviana. Because Jackson's like, this is the greatest dinner ever. Repeated the same thing.
Yeah.
As the kids. And
I think I felt the same way I went to Kirby Lane.
Yeah. But my mind realized something. Like, I've just participated in one of his first experiences.
Yeah.
Just like you with the lease.
It's a big thing.
Bro. And then the reality set in to me that you can't minimize these things, Dad. Like, because the kids have been saying it so frequently on similar subjects that I'd been like numb towards it, I guess. And after tonight with him, I was like, oh, shit, that really does matter. Because this really does mean something. Even if I don't notice it like that, or even if it may be routine, like, this is the same chicken soup I made last time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a new experience for some reason with them. And I don't know, I felt like I was drawn back towards, like, the idea of exploration and finding a treasure and being there to watch it happen with this little pirate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or this little navigator, you know?
it's a mind-blowing thing. Like, it's like, there's so much about parenthood. It's just, like, drudgery. Like, I don't want to down... I love being dad, but there's a lot of dad stuff that ain't fun at all, and it's, like, super tiring. Every time my daughter leaves after a visit, I have a deeper and deeper appreciation for her mother, because she'll leave. Like, you know, you was hitting me up, you know, yeah, about when you were going to come by.
Yep.
I'm like, my daughter just left. I think I'm going to lay down for a bit. Like, I'll be...
I'm feeling some kind of...
I'll be exhausted. And it always passed through my mind, like, but damn, she deals with this every fucking day. Like, there is no break for her.
Right.
There is no going home for her. Like, maybe the only break she gets is when she comes here to me, which is every 2 weeks. So, yeah, shout outs to moms or whatever I'm trying to say.
I feel that, man. I feel that. There was something that I thought about while we're having this. God bless, I can't recall.
Well, why are you thinking of that?
What you got? Come at it.
Another cool thing happened to me. A lot of things happened to me this week. I'm having conflict at work, right? You ever had some, like, I say this all the time. Whenever somebody uses the phrase, I don't mean to be, but, like, they about to do the very thing that they're saying.
I don't mean to sound like an asshole, but.
But, right, yeah, or I don't mean to sound racist, but, you know, they about to say the most racist thing you ever heard.
Your food is good, entire life. But what, motherfucker? Whose right. food is better?
Say, I got at work during, like, a staff meeting, a team meeting. Was
this,
like,
is our conversation we had the other day.
He was like, I don't mean to call anybody out, but. And then use my name like three times. Like, I don't want to sound cocky, but, you know, usually in the places.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm about to do it. Bang.
Terror illustrates my era. I don't mean to sound cocky, but hit it.
Way to point that out.
Say that then.
But anyway, in most of the jobs that I work at, like, I'm good at what I do.
Right.
I'm very good at what I do. And sure. I normally work myself into enough of a niche, whatever the word is.
Nike, if you want.
That I'm allotted some freedoms. Some things like that. And so he tried to throw me under the bus, and it got brushed off. And so he said my name a second time. And for a second time, they shoulder shrugged. They Mayweather that shit and shoulder rolled their head. And so he brought it up a third time. And man, and I was so just the levels of pistivity that I had reached.
Pistivity?
During that meeting was just at an all-time high. And like, so now I'm looking for other jobs. Like, why I would let one person who obviously higher ups don't care about their opinion enough to do anything about.
This goes back to what we were talking about with the kids. Why are you worried about trying to have somebody believe and convince them? Right. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that angle, but it is, but I'm letting this one guy like take whatever I've earned and built at this job for 2 years, you know, or so. I'm letting him and his opinion of me, or his anger toward me or whatever, like, destroy that. And as I say it now, I'm thinking I need to calm down. And you got a good job. I work for the state. So, like, who leaves the state? Who,
that's you know, bro, you still get benefits after you're in the grave.
Yeah, you know, who leaves the state? But I don't know. I don't know why I'm sharing that. It's just some shit that happened to me. And I come home and I talk to my plants and stuff about it. It's nice to have you here. I have some. You know what a good segue is from that story is, because we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the Midnight Miracle.
Midnight at the Miracle.
So if you're not familiar with the Midnight Miracle, it's the new podcast hosted by Dave Chappelle, Mos Def, well, Yasiin Bey, and Talib Kweli. And
the fourth man that we
they have people on there. David Letterman's been on there. I think during the episode we listened to, Chris Rock Could yeah, be heard. Yeah. Questlove has been on.
Are they doing this one production weekly, or is it?
They episodes are coming out like every week, every 2 weeks. I don't even know the regularity of it.
J.Dot Flan's jocking that thing, which is, on that. He loves that show, by the way. I love it. For your info.
I love it to death. To most death. Jinx! But,
Mike Diaphragm. To those who know.
It's a cool thing. I don't know when it comes on, because like I'll miss several episodes, and then I'll get an evening where I just get to sit and listen to multiple episodes at once. But one of the things they talked about on the show, trying to remember which where part? I was going. The first one that we listened to. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm trying. What was I talking about?
I don't know. I got sidetracked too. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
I was talking about the guy at the job and him stealing my joy. And,
right. And that brought us into the segue.
And you were saying something about it with the kids and believing, making somebody else believe that you're right.
Right. First episode was about, Most was talking about
Amy Winehouse. They were talking about Amy Winehouse and like convincing people, you know, how do you convince someone to stay alive? Like, how do you convince
right.
a person that's reached that kind of
right.
dark place to stay alive? And I know we had talked, and I was saying to you, like, you know, one of my favorite things to say to people is the cool thing about my beliefs is they don't require your agreement. And here's one of them situations where, like, yeah, my happiness or contentment with my job shouldn't require any input from you, you know, whatsoever. And
let me ask you this.
I'm giving that away.
The fact that there happened to be input, what does that mean? Like,
I'm taking it personally because this is somebody that I go out of my way to try to help. You know me.
Yeah, you are. I hope I come across
on this on this show. It's like if I have it to give, and you need it,
how can I help you to get it? Yeah,
yeah, it's yours. Like I give you whatever. And to a fault, and I don't want to thank you. I'm not looking for a thank you. I think I put myself in a position to get used a lot, and a lot of times I will know that you are using me.
And still let it ride?
I'll let it ride to see if you want to actually do it. Like, what hurts me is not the being used. What hurts me is that I have not been able to engender in you a sense of appreciation enough, or I've not been able to show you that I care enough about you, or that I love you in a way that would make you not want to do something like that to me. I'm hurt that you still want to do that to me, that you don't care enough about me to not do these things to me. Whatever you get from me is, I'm probably only placed in your reach enough that I'd be good with parting with. I don't put myself in a position to lose something that I need. But the fact that you would take that from me in a malicious way, when you could probably ask me for it, and I give it to you, and you know this about me, that's what hurts me.
I think this goes back to being able to separate very, very, very important things that aren't often considered. And we've heard it one way in one book, and in another way it's been read to me while reading to myself. It's been read to me while reading to myself. The act from the actor. The actions that have taken place from those who have performed the actions. Like, it's tough. Like, and in the other book, it says things like, God free me from being angry. Perhaps this man is spiritually sick, right? And I'm going to tell you, at age 36, I found out about that at age 28, I believe, and adopted it hardcore to the point where, to a fault, I allowed things to happen and went into this act of forgiveness overboard like never before, and allowed things to take place and continued to look over them from people very, very, very close to me while being played for the fool.
And that's, go ahead. But that's what upsets me about this state of affairs in the world today. And I don't know how we're going to connect this to Midnight Miracle, but just know it's a dope show. That was the whole point of whatever we were going to talk about. But like, I want to love people, and I do love people, and I want to take care of people, and I want to help people, and I want to do for people. I get upset when the world creates a situation where I feel like I have to protect myself from you. Like, I don't want to have to feel that way about you. I want to just be able to walk freely and be like, hey, you need, got you, whatever. Oh, you know.
Let me throw this out there real quick. Current to my life thoughts taking place, right? And that is this. Everybody that I meet today, I am dealing with their past. Everybody who meets me today is also dealing with my past. My interactions with you are dictated by the interactions that I've had with people. Fuck, man. Like, it could go back as far as like the age of 2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Experiences that I've had in my history dictate how I act with you today. Experiences that other people in my life have had in their past dictate how they act with me today. And I think that, I think having had such a fucked up life, man, personally, you can understand, based off of our life circumstances previously, you know, prior to now, prior to this moment, you know, chasing drugs, chasing alcohol, you know, knowing nothing other than that, getting us to a point where we're like, holy shit. A moment of realization comes at a point of utter brokenness, to where something has to change, right? To where now I have to look at myself and understand that psychologically I treat you today based off of what happened in my history, right? Oh, wait, you mean like I have layers? Oh, wait, you mean like I could act differently? I could treat people differently starting now, progressively.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, continually, based off of understanding how it was in my past, and finding things to let go, and finding things to keep, and finding things to nurture, and finding things to love and heal, right? Fuck, I feel like I'm going on some other shit. I think that's I'm gonna just prop myself right now. I have been clean and sober for some time over a month, and I haven't been clean and sober in a long time. I've been clean and sober and want to be clean and sober, and I haven't wanted to be clean and sober in a really fucking long time.
Very proud of you, bro.
I appreciate that. And here's where I got to stop you and be like, don't fucking say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's weird. You know, like, there's this point of, like, I don't know, like, shame. Like, you know, to be told, I'm proud of you for not smoking crack today, guy. Or, hey, I'm real proud that you didn't take a fucking needle from that hospital that you worked at and shot that cocaine into your arm and your body, however you got it in there, whatever vessel you used, right? Like, other people are out there because, like, hey, man, I'm proud of you for hitting that home run. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, I don't know. Compliments are hard, first off. Secondly, sometimes I got to think about like how these compliments or what these compliments are about and like understand that it's okay.
Now, I mean, I just say it from like, I talk about the pain Olympics. And,
okay.
And, you know, because I think we do that sometimes. Like because of what somebody else is doing or has done or what has happened to them, like it somehow lessens the importance of what has happened to us. Like if you just stubbed your toe and your toe really fucking hurts, and then you look up and there's like somebody just got shot, all of a sudden you feel like, oh, my toe shouldn't hurt no more because I didn't get shot. But no, your toe.
No, that was real.
It was real. That's still pain. You still feel that. Yeah. And you still go. So just because homie hit a home run and that is something to be proud of, it is an accomplishment. It is still an accomplishment because I know, you know, what that other place feels like. And I know what coming back from that other place feels like. It's a fucking accomplishment. Regardless, you know, of if you try to put it on some scale with other accomplishments, you diminish it.
I don't know. I don't know that I do. Because going back to our conversation on the patio earlier, right? Like, is it really diminished? Because
it's not. No, I'm saying it's not.
I didn't get a paycheck. Today I didn't get to put an application in. Today I went through, you know, a few emotional hiccups and issues with people around me, right? Today I didn't hit a home run. But today I didn't stick a needle in my arm and I didn't smoke any crack.
And that's a good day.
I think that's a fucking amazing.
That's a good day.
Here's the thing though. I found finally at one point in my life that I'm proud of that. Then I lost that and fucking fought being proud of that for so long.
I say, if you proud of it, motherfucker, allow me to be proud of it too.
Dude. All right. I'll take that. I'll take that. It's just that finally I'm finding the ability to be proud of it again.
Yeah.
It's just that finally I'm finding the ability to be proud of it again and like fucking love that. Right? I hated life, dog. I hated me. I hated your life. Everybody. And I really didn't, man. I loved everybody. I loved myself, but I couldn't fucking figure out that I was worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like
I'm getting to a point. I need to chill out and drink me some matcha.
Yeah, we listen to most talk about Amy Winehouse.
Right.
And you know what the beautiful thing about listening to most or Yasin, I'm sorry. To listen to Yasin talk about that Amy Winehouse situation is that, and we talked about this on the patio, from outsiders very rarely seem to show an understanding of what's going on with someone that's struggling with that kind of stuff.
Right.
And even beyond not understanding it, they don't even recognize that they don't understand. They think they know. They think they have it all figured out. They, you know, and they'll say dumb shit to you like, just stop. Or why can't you just stop doing that?
Am I not good enough for you to stop?
Yeah, am I not good enough for you to stop? Like that shows you have no understanding of what's going on in that person's psyche at the moment. And to hear most like tell that story and talk about how like when you can see that when somebody's at that level, they're only around people that are at that level. Their social circle shrinks. The isolation kicks in.
Right, right.
You know, and he said on several occasions, it's not that they don't love you. It's not that they don't want to be around people. You know,
I am just predisposed at the moment with something that I can't control, which keeps me focusing on only that.
It was so amazingly dope. Guys. It was so amazingly dope to hear someone on the other side be able to look at that objectively and like not think that they understood the situation and can't understand why a person would make the decisions that person was making at the time. Like that's what resonated with me.
I took some notes off that. So sitting on a set with J.Dot Flam for the first time here in a new place, right? For new living. I see a way out from the darkness again, right? I was only around people that used like me. How could I have been around anybody else? Because we, those people who used like me or drank like us, right? You know, if that was the case.
Yeah.
We were all chasing the same thing and we couldn't control that. And here, while saying that, I feel like, boy, you dumbass, you could control. No, really, guys, like, I can't stop, which is why I needed to be separated. Physically,
yeah, somebody
put in a controlled place.
Somebody once asked me, people always ask me, like, they always ask me about their behaviors and whether or not I think that they have a problem or not. And I'm always, you know, my first response is always the same. It's not, I can't determine whether or not you have a problem or not. Like, I can't tell you that you're an alcoholic. I can't tell you you're an addict. I don't have the moral authority to make that judgment call. And I don't think anybody does. Mm-hmm. That is a personal judgment. And then a guy asked me, someone asked me once very specifically, like, does wanting a drink every day make you an alcoholic? And I said to him, wanting a drink doesn't make you an alcoholic. When I knew for me personally, wanting a drink doesn't make me an alcoholic. What I knew, the moment I knew I was an alcoholic and I had a problem was when I didn't want a drink, but I felt like I had to have one. Like that was a different situation.
Dog, the first time I knew I was an addict, I fucked up the whole party for everybody that day in my apartment. Nah, like I had just gone through some real emotionally heavy shit, separating from my first child and her mother. And the separation from the mother wasn't so much the problem as much as it was the idea of not being around my daughter, whom I presumed was my first. and moved around the block to my next apartment, and me and some other unnamed individuals were heavily just huffing at them lines. Let me get a cigarette behind that. You got a beer, blah, blah, blah. 3.5 ounces later, days into this situation, I'm like, yo, I just realized I'm an addict. Do y'all know that we're addicts? Do y'all understand that we've been huffing off my glass, snorting off my glass table and this mirror, smoking cigarettes in this exact room for the past X amount of days, have silenced our cell phones to all people outside of this environment, and are just continuously nonstop, like, on that. And when the bag runs out, we find a way to get another. I'm a fucking addict. Y'all are addicts. And right back to another line. That was 17, that was 18 years old, man.
But we talked earlier about, we were having a conversation about, like, emotions and the empathy, the story about Elise.
Right.
And all that stuff. You know, we were talking about whether or not we felt like there was a thing. Like, I realized for me that it's not that I don't have emotions, it's that I feel emotions
at an intense,
more deeply, you know, at a more extreme rate than maybe other people do. And part of my life and my growth and where I am now is learning how to manage that, learning how to understand that I feel things more deeply, and how to anticipate the emotions that are going to come, and what the coping mechanisms I need to have are, what are the things I need to do and be ready for to handle all this information, this emotional information as it hits me and can bombard me and overwhelm me. And listening to Midnight Miracle tonight with you, and then, you know, they had Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And some clips from Robin Williams on there, and the Amy Winehouse situation, and Malik B. And, I talked about my sponsor and the things that I've done and the things that I know that you've done. Like, I really feel, and hopefully this, I'm not going to misspeak and convince somebody to be an addict that's not an addict. But I really feel like,
remember, these are our thoughts and opinions.
Go ahead. I'm not responsible for their feelings. That's right. That, like, there's a window in the human soul, mind, whatever you want to call it. There's a window that when it's opened, you can't control everything that comes in. You know, you
it's
get
like a black hole, man.
Yeah, like, you get a lot. Like, you know, so, like, you have the ability to sometimes maybe see and understand things differently. I wanted to say that other people can't, but I think that's the wrong statement. I think you get to see and interpret things differently than other people get to see and interpret. But with that comes some other shit that you, that if there's nobody there to teach you how to manage it,
Jesus, yeah,
you know, some shit can happen to you.
It's gonna be some,
because, you know, Amy Winehouse, brilliant musician, you know, never heard anything like her before she came.
Damn.
Robin Williams, brilliant, and everybody in that show had nothing but glowing things to say about the man that he was, and how he made people feel, and how he lit up a room. And Malik B, people have nothing but glowing things to say about their artistic value and what these people were. My sponsor was an Olympic athlete. You know, I've listened to the music and things that you've made, and I know, you know, the person and the potential that you have. And I just feel like some of those spaces can't be tapped into without possibly letting some other shit in, unless you have somebody there or you have something there that can guide and mold and teach that person how to mitigate all that shit.
I'm going
to
tell you, for myself, growing up with the idea of, not the idea, but the natural feeling for music, like, at a very young age, man, I already felt that about myself. And I'm not producing any more music than, and when I say producing, I'm not producing and putting out music right now, right? But I'm always producing music. It's always happening in my head. And for me, using drugs was a part of that, right? At one point, using drugs was something that I knew I was going to do. Even getting to a needle was something that I knew I was going to do because it was a part of the music. because it was a part of becoming an artist to the degree that I'd seen artists whom I was inspired by and whom were like heavy hitters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it, man. Johnny Cash, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, right? Like these boys were flopped up on some funk, bro.
Flopped up on some funk.
Yeah. Hey.
That's the first.
Michael Jackson. You know, the shit was happening with him behind doors long before it was ever talked about. And a lot of that shit still ain't talked about. But I mean, come on now. You can't live at the place that he lived. What was it called again? Wonderland?
Neverland.
Neverland, right? And like go through what you got going on without hitting something. You know, and whoa. So, but then take that out. And you're left with the person, you know, take that out and you're left with J-Dot. Take that out. You're left with, you know, Alexander MF or, you know, for future reference, anybody out there, whoever you may be, you know, you're left with you. And I think like yourself, we have, like you said, when I say, I think like yourself, I agree with you that we have something about us that is unique. I think that all of us are that way, right? And that there are some things within us that probably need some good leadership and guidance. And without that, like we are cosmic balls of energy, cosmic. Like we are as powerful as the universe. We're just exploding in all directions. We got nobody helping us to direct that energy. We got TV telling us to be this way. We got mom and dad going from 9 to 7 and unable to help direct our energy. We got a soccer coach trying to help us out, but we got, you know, 26 other players on the team. We got the people on the street corner that were walking by after school hitting some shit trying to tell us to come that direction. You know what I mean? There's so many ways, and it's just, I'm a dad, and I got kids, and I think about this.
Yeah, so that's what I said. Like, when I see these things, at least, like, yeah, I mean, they're childish, back, yeah. Childlike wonder, and it's amazing, and it's beautiful, and I love it. And it also, the more of myself I see in her, more frightened I get by the day, because I know, and I don't even know that I'm in a place now that I know how to effectively teach her to manage, you know, some of this stuff. Like, you don't know how to, because I know nobody could talk to me when I was a kid. I don't know who could have told me something that I would have listened to. I don't know if there was a person, you know. Royster 5'9" once said, you know, nobody could get through to me. Well, maybe Jay-Z. I don't even know if Jay-Z could have said some shit, but I'd be like, all right, Jay, you're right, Sean. I shouldn't be doing that shit. We on a first name basis. That's how we talk. But yeah, man, I don't know. We just went down that rabbit hole. But
it's good. I haven't been able to talk about that rabbit hole openly and confidently and comfortably with a passion for it versus a passion against it in a long time. And if you guys out there don't like it, I don't give a fuck. Go and talk to my mama about it. She'd be like, what, it's what? Mi grandma.
You okay?
You okay? It's mi grandma. There's a book, by the way, that I've been reading that I read fully. It's called, side note, like for future reference, we're going to fuck with this. Questions for Terrible People. 250 questions you'll be ashamed to answer.
Oh, those are some good questions. I like those kind of questions.
So one of them is like,
ask me one.
I can't remember clearly, right? But,
do your best.
Would you accept $500 a day if you knew that you had to shit it out and pull it out of your own shit in the toilet?
Motherfucker.
Right. Like, you get this opportunity to receive $500 every day, right? But it has to come out of your shit and you have to pull it out of the toilet.
Every day.
Every day. Yay or nay?
Well, I'm trying to, like, so of course, the way my brain works.
Tell me about it.
I'm looking for, like, the metaphorical equivalent. Like, what are they really talking about? They're not talking about $500 and shit. Like, what does this equate to in my actual life? What am I shitting out every day but refusing to sift through it so that I can have it. Like, what is this? You know, like, I, that's where my mind is going. $500 a day, which is not a lot of money. $500 a day.
Say, but think about this. Think if you could take, you say it's not a lot of money. You're right. Correct. But isn't it, though? Let's do the math on that. 500 a day times 5 days a week. What are you making?
That's just 2,500.
2,500 a week. Multiply that times four. What are we getting at? 2, 4, 6, eight.
You make me do a lot of math.
Huh?
You make me do a lot of
five,
math.
5, 10, 15, 20.
That's 10.
8, 10. We made 10 a month from pulling out $500 cash from our shit in our toilet. Nobody knows. Oh, and the money still has to smell like it. I think that was part of it, right? Like, you can wash your hands, it's all good, but the money still smells like shit.
Money still smells like shit?
Yeah. So, here's the thing.
I got shitty money.
That's $10,000 a month, dog. You say it ain't a lot. But say that we take that $10,000 a month and roll it over into an investment. Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to capitalize on this shitty situation. Turn it into some, you know, like, oh, I just took me to a Johnny Cash song. Johnny Cash or Trent Reznor? Hurt.
So, here's a thought I just had.
Tell me about it.
That shows how hypocritical this whole mind fuck I'm going through is right now. I came to visit my ex-wife now in Texas one time while she was here.
Oh, okay.
And I came out here for like a weekend and ended up staying a month. And finally went back home. And when I got back home, I had a bottle of vodka that I had left the top off of sitting in my apartment that had been sitting there for a month.
Mm-hmm.
This bottle of vodka had attracted several fruit flies.
Sure.
A colony of fruit flies. And they were floating.
He said several. Then he turned it into a colony. Keep it real, right?
And they were floating
in the
vodka. I strained the fruit flies off that vodka. And I drank. Here's the funnier part of it. I was telling this story to somebody the other day, and they were like, well, couldn't you just go get another bottle? And I was like, absolutely. I lived a block away from a liquor store, but why was I going to throw away that vodka?
You're not seeing the vision.
Just because I can get another bottle don't mean I should waste this perfectly good bottle.
And that only get another bottle.
It's a bottle of alcohol, so anything that was on the fruit flies is dead anyway. Why am I going to not drink it just because it got fruit flies on it? I'll strain the fucking fruit flies off the vodka, drink the vodka, which is what I did, but I'm sitting here debating whether or not I would dig through shit for $500. You see what I'm saying?
Did it change the flavor of your vodka to any fruity essence?
First to begin. Let's talk about something right now.
$500 worth of shit.
We're gonna get back to the $500 worth of shit, but I need to say this, and I need grown ups to fucking like hear this out and admit this. We know why we drink alcohol. We all know why we drink alcohol. And it is not because it tastes good.
Nah.
Miss me with all the bullshit about the notes that you can sense in the vodka and all the different types. Potato.
Orange, peel, flavor.
Every kind of fucking vodka you could think. I was so popular at the liquor store. Right. When I walked
this
in.
Made me think of half baked. Hey, black ass.
Man, when I walked into the liquor store, it was like Christmas Eve. Like, they knew, oh, he's coming.
Here comes.
So as soon as I walked in, they'd be like, man, you got to try this. We just got this in. I was getting free shit, all kinds of stuff from the people. It was so bad.
He was sponsored.
That I would go in there and I would have to talk to the guy when I got to the front. I'm like, dude, you got to stop. I don't need everybody in here don't need to know I'm in here this often, dog. Like, stop talking to me like we best friends. Shit, this is a transaction. You know, like that's all this needs to be. I know I'm putting your kids through college, but chill the fuck out, bro. Like,
man,
chill out.
Man, making them rich too.
So yeah, so no, I didn't taste any additional. I don't know that I ever tasted vodka. I know the taste of vodka. I know the smell of vodka very clear because it smells the same when you throw it up as it does when you're drinking
it. Does it ever?
Same with tequila. Don't talk to me about the flavors of the burnt wood.
Have you ever drank
barrel.
Goldschlager? Goldschlager?
Never drank Goldschlager.
With the flakes in it?
Nah.
Oh.
It's a waste. For what? Why am
how
I drinking gold?
How about 99 bananas?
Who the what?
Who the what now? Who the what? What was that now?
What'd you call me?
99 bananas.
Nah, bro.
They got 99 coconuts, I think, too. How about Crown Apple?
Yes, I have had Crown Apple.
What you think?
Crown Apple and vanilla Smirnoff. It's an apple pie.
You are a fucking retard. One Nestle's graham cracker with a slice of cheddar cheese is cheesecake flavored fucking snack. Yeah, where's the rationale in that? Trust me, I know. I had that happen when I could still taste.
That's disgusting. But I said all this to say, like, no,
that
I didn't taste.
Keep the $500.
I didn't taste any additional flavor notes due to the fruit flies. I was not drinking the vodka to try. I was trying not to taste it in most cases. I'm just trying. That's why I shoot my stuff. I was just straight back, you know. Liquor doesn't taste good. That's why we mix it with shit, and you got to have all kinds of cocktails and stuff. I don't care if you got sipping tequila, sipping whiskey, you a cognac drinker. It doesn't taste good. If it tastes better than other burnt wood barrel aged shit, maybe you can make that argument. But to try to tell me it tastes good, miss me with that bullshit.
I don't know. Do you believe that there is an acquired taste reality?
It's an acquired taste. You have like drinking coffee black.
Again, like,
have you grown to like coffee black without any flavor?
Yes, you laughed at me earlier for not putting sweetener in my tea.
That's a different thing, though, man.
I don't put sweetener in anything. I don't put, you know, cream.
That's a different thing, bro.
And stuff like that in anything.
You're breaking some laws.
I don't put stuff in anything.
I believe in black coffee now.
Yeah, I drink black coffee. I drink my tea straight. I drink.
Oh, it's because everything. We're getting to our 50s, dog.
I think it was a nutritionist thing. I got it from my ex-wife.
I just tried to give us some room.
Oh, yeah, I got
said
him. 50s. Why are you trying to put all that years on? But back to the sifting through shit for $500.
Yeah, nay.
Yeah, if I could strain flu flies off vodka,
absolutely no reason why you wouldn't be able to.
There's no reason why I wouldn't be able. And I just have to take the shitty stinking money to the bank, and I guarantee you they'd take it. They'd be
Hell,
like,
yeah,
your money smells like shit, but
it still spends. Okay. All right, hold on. So, the dolphin population of the world is going to die. They're going to cease to exist. But they will continue to survive, and you can save all the dolphins for the rest of time.
The rest of time.
If you would allow your genitalia to smell like rancid garlic for 5 years. By the way, if you didn't know, nobody knows that the dolphins dying would be your fault if you chose that route. So you can choose to have your crotch, your genitalia, smell like rancid garlic for 5 years and save all the dolphins. And nobody would know.
All right. You know.
Or they all die and nobody would know.
So I say this all the time. I think every episode is going to be my last episode. But
here it is, yo.
This will be the one.
This is the nail.
Fuck dolphins. I don't care what. I eat a dolphin steak. I don't. Whatever. Fuck a dolphin. I'm not walking around with rancid garlic balls because dolphins want to live. Like, I mean, all living things are precious. But so are my sperm. So,
I think I might take the garlic and go live off the Galapagos Islands for a while and, like, you know, swim with dolphins for 5 years. I'd get real toned, real fit.
You'd fuck a dolphin.
I would not fuck a dolphin.
That's what happened.
How'd you go there, bro? You really are an addict, bro.
I'm saying you putting your balls ahead of, you putting dolphins ahead of your, you'd fuck a dolphin.
You don't understand. He said, you, I feel that because you would allow the populace of dolphin to survive for the rest of mankind by allowing your crotch to smell like garlic, rancid garlic at that, that you, sir, would fuck a dolphin. You dolphin fucker. This is a house of learned doctors.
So, but beyond dolphins surviving, what is the benefit of your genitalia smelling like garlic for 5 years?
Bro, you trying to tell me that your shit don't stink already? You trying to tell me you don't walk around with, listen to this. Ha, cheesy. I remember you. Cheesy. The story told to me by, nobody knows Cheesy. I don't even got to tell all these names. He would bang another chick. And after he banged another chick, he would go and buy a bag, 99 cent bag of Frito-Lay's chips, crumble them up in his hand and rub them down there, his hand down on his junk after he got done on his penis and balls.
For.
Because that's what he says his crotch normally smelled like. To cover up the smell of the vagina and to put it back towards the smell of what he thought his penis and balls normally smelled like.
See, he was an addict. He was a user, right?
Nah.
He was on something.
Because that's he was high on life. That dude's got a business and those are houses. Now. You can, I don't know how many wives he's
Marion
had.
Marion Barry was the mayor of D.C. and he was smoking crack.
He was way fucked up.
You could be successful and still be on some shit because those are not sober thoughts. Those are not sober thoughts.
But think about that though. This guy was like, oh fuck, I just.
And I think something's wrong with that genre. And if it came down, I'm not saying that my crotch smells like roses, but I do some work. You know what I'm saying? Like I put in work.
Don't they make like man douche?
Dude, where is this podcast going? How did we get here?
You know what? I don't give a fuck. Because you're gonna edit.
I'm not done. I don't edit. Guy, have you listened to me? You haven't listened to me. You obviously don't listen to this show. I don't edit a goddamn thing.
How long have we been going?
We had like an hour now. We'll do a little bit more, and then we'll.
We're almost rolling up to 60.
Oh, we're past 60. We had an hour 9.
We're at 1:09.
Yeah, we're at 69. Oh shit.
69. Yeah, 69. Feeling.
So we got to keep going because we're not ending on 69. But
because Jared feels uncomfortable about things like that.
It is.
I just said 69 in the presence of a man.
It is a part of who I am. I am who I am. And fuck dolphins.
No. Don't fuck a dolphin. Save a dolphin, bro.
For what?
Do you know what they provide to the ecosystem in the ocean? Here I go being me.
What do they provide to the ecosystem?
The shit that you can't even call. That shit right there. They are a part of that thing thriving. Did you know that the ecosystem got the oceans, the world that we live in, right?
Yeah.
Is balanced out the way it is because of everything that's in it.
Okay.
They kill what they need to kill and they provide what they need to provide for life.
Counterpoint, right?
Fuck a dolphin.
Counterpoint. And this is why I say fuck dolphins. And if they would have to go extinct for the benefit of my balls, then I'm good with that. Species have gone extinct before. And somehow, the world is such a...
Go ahead, say it.
The world is such... No. Not
where's the dodo bird?
They didn't come back. But the world is such... Nature is such an amazing thing that it found a way to rebalance its fucking self. We've lost animals forever. And not out of natural processes. We've lost them because we overfished or we've burnt some shit down that we weren't supposed to burn.
But if you know that you can be the guy that you can stop like the killer whales or the dolphins... How would you feel if it was horses?
I don't give a fuck about horses. All right. So
Wait. What if it was a continent of people?
See, now
and we're nobody getting, would know.
And now we're now, so now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere.
I'm going somewhere with this question. What if it was a continent of people and nobody would know yet?
5 years I could do 5 years. Not a problem.
Okay. Are dolphins not sentient beings like the continent of people?
Here's the difference.
He's like, I don't speak fucking dolphin.
Nah, I'm right. The strange thing about my life, and this is how I know it's gone off the rails, is that I am prepared for questions like this. I have prepared my whole life for questions like this. Right?
We are retarded.
Here is why. Here is the difference.
I feel like I'm biting curbs right now.
Here is why I would 100% do rancid garlic on my dick. To save a continent of people, and I would scream fuck dolphins at the top of my lungs from now until eternity. It is a question of maximum potential. Every human life, even Hitler, this is why this is the last podcast.
We're saying there was a value in all of it. Is the point, right?
At birth, the potential for that human life was astronomical. You don't know what impact that person could have had on this world.
But what you're doing is separating ourselves from that exact same idea.
Because the potential of a dolphin...
From that exact same idea as that butterfly or that dolphin, right? Look at that butterfly.
I'm looking at the butterfly.
The effect of that one butterfly. The butterfly effect, right? Blah, 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 bullshit. But... That one dolphin may make this one move that impacts the whole dolphins, you know.
And I'm still like the dolphins. The dolphin society could thrive.
Am I sick for saying, not that I would let my nuts smell like garlic for 5 years to save a continent of people, or not that I would kill off a continent of people, But am I sick for saying, or is it weird for saying, or is it ironic, or is it, what would the word be? Saying that maybe, like, what would the planet, what would happen with the planet if we were to lose a continent of people? We didn't lose a continent, infrastructure stayed the same, but just,
if you asked me this, if you asked me the same question and it wasn't a continent of people, it was one person, I think I'd probably do the 5 years.
Nope, not one person.
Because there's no telling what that one person could be. And it's just like, this is the beauty of human. So here, anyone, we talked about, like, on the Midnight Miracles, they were like, how do you convince a person, inspire a person to live?
To not run it. Yeah.
And this is what I'll say for a person. And this, to me, only applies to people. Because a dolphin, at the end of the day, maybe a dolphin swims one day and he creates a wave that creates a tsunami that does something, and then that inspires a person to do something, and blah, 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 and right. yada, 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 and end right. of the day, utopia. But that to me, is a huge long shot. The beauty of existence. This moment that we're having right now, this podcast, this fucking 10-minute conversation we've had about dolphins and garlicky balls. Like, this moment could not have existed without every single second that ever happened in history ever having happened before. Any one second, no matter in China, in the millions of years that took place before tonight, is different, and then tonight does not happen. Or tonight does not happen just like this. We may not be talking about vinegar. We might not be talking about garlicky balls. Maybe talking about vinegar balls.
Sure.
We don't know. But something would be different. And so I say that to say, people dream about changing the world. People dream about, like, having an impact. You wake up in the morning, you've changed the world. You brush your teeth, you've changed the world. Every second that happens after that second is different because that second happened. And so you get out of a car. Everybody wants to be. You talk about the butterfly effect.
Wait. Yeah. Let me hit you with this. I wake up one day to the smell of my nuts and balls smelling like garlic, and I saved the whole dolphin population, and I didn't brush my teeth. I changed the world.
I would say for the irrelevant. But anyway, not for the good or the bad, for the 100% irrelevant.
Man, where is your appreciation for things in life?
But it's like everybody wants to be, say, talk about the butterfly effect. Butterfly flaps its wing in China and it rains in, is a thunderstorm in Times Square.
And
a
dolphin shits diarrhea.
And so everybody wants to be the thunderstorm in Times Square. Everybody wants to be the big event that happens at the end that is impactful. But I would like to argue that, you know, the event that kicked it off is important. The event that happened after that event happened is important, just as important. So if this podcast tonight, if a conversation we had about dolphins,
any part of what we got going on here,
if somebody listens to this, if somebody turns this on and gets so bored by it that they turn it off and turn on Midnight Miracles and then listens to Midnight Miracles and is inspired to write a book that somebody else reads one day. And
point, counterpoint, somebody may hear this podcast and want to become a marine biologist to help save the dolphin population.
And it may be because I said fuck dolphins.
It may be because there was a guy that said I'd let my nuts stink like rancid garlic for 5 years. But here's the thing. Does any of it really matter? I ask you this question. Here's going on to something bigger. Does any of it really fucking matter? Does what we do between our first breath out of the uterus till our last breath prior to the slab, does any of it matter after? In the long run, are we a rock by ourselves?
No. No. Again.
And is what's happening here just going to turn off like a light and no longer be of any sort of existence at some point? Have you heard of the simulation theory?
I've heard of the simulation
theory. What's the Tesla guy's name?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk. He's gone on to state that.
So what's Elon doing it all for?
One more time.
What's Elon doing it all for?
You think he's doing it for money and fame?
I mean, if it's a simulation.
No, he's not doing it. No. He's so apparently Elon Musk is a smart guy.
You would have to be.
And he's gone on to, I don't think he was the one that like proposed the theory, but he's gone on to add some ideas behind it that create some thoughts behind it. And so from what I recall, if anybody's going to respond, please do, right? Like straighten up what I'm saying, confirm what I'm saying, adjust what I'm saying, or fuck what I'm saying if you don't like it. But we are in a simulation that was created, that has been created by a civilization that is like far beyond where we are now. We have already created our own demise. We no longer exist. Mm-hmm. Human species, the Homo sapien, and like the next thereafters have created and written a human simulation, a simulation. And then I think this somehow ties into string theory, like the string, the multiverse, right? That there are an innumerable amount of yous and I's and hers and them's and this and that, all living out every possible outcome of our lives. And that each one of those separate universes happens to be another iteration of, what's that called? The simulation. And I don't remember why it was created. Somebody, if you do respond, do people respond? They respond, right?
They don't respond.
Fuck.
Nobody listens.
Well, I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Nobody listens to this podcast. This, if you want to talk about a simulation, what we're doing right now might as well be a simulation.
Dry run. I'm dry run. We went to go buy drugs, but nobody was there. It's, you hear me knocking? Fuck. So, right, nobody on the inside.
Here's my response to all of that.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know what life is. I don't know for sure that, something intelligent put all of this in motion. You know, a lot of that is our beliefs and things like that. But nobody knows for sure. I know that my existence feels real. And I know how painful existence can feel, I talk about this when I talk to people about, like, being hurt or, even in relationships, like, you cheat on somebody, then, like, some people feel or you get cheated on, some people feel like that gives them a free pass to cheat because somebody did something to me. And I feel like if you've experienced a certain pain, then you have a responsibility to not inflict that same pain on anyone else because you have firsthand knowledge.
Just remember, you're talking about somebody that has enough processing ability about themselves to understand something like that. There are people that will go to the grave at the age of 95 who have never been able to perceive anything outside of themselves or have any interest in learning anything like that. And I don't mean they're stupid. I mean, some people just don't get it.
It's that empathetic thing, I talked about with my daughter.
Right.
And I see it. So I feel like if you've been hurt in a certain kind of way, that gives you now have a responsibility to not inflict that same pain on another individual because you have firsthand knowledge of what that feels like. And so for me, knowing how painful existence can be, or at least knowing how painful it was for me, I don't want that for anyone else.
Yeah.
So if there's anything I can do, even if this is a fake existence, it felt real enough for me in the moment, and I don't want any fake person to feel that way. Like, whatever, even if it's a simulated feeling, I don't want that simulated feeling for anyone else. Anything I can do in life that could possibly help alleviate that pain, make someone not feel alone, make someone whatever. It's not about money anymore. I want money. I fucking want money.
But
we just talked about sifting through shit for $500. I do it.
Didn't
we decided that?
Yeah.
So it's not. So it's not that I don't want money. Please send it. But
P.O. Box 207 GOGLE Drive.
And it still is selfish because I tell people, if you want to know why I do what I do, when people see me do something selfless or they see me help somebody, at the end of the day, it's really. And this is about when you asked about whether or not when the lights shut off, at the end of all, is it mean? That's all I think about is the after. Everything
do
I
you
do.
Believe in heaven?
I never gave it that much thought.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Everything I do.
I'm offended.
Everything I do.
No, I'm just joking.
Everything I do is now.
Oh, fuck you.
Maybe not 2 years ago, but everything I do now is so that one day when somebody asks and I believe that they will ask. When somebody, one day, when somebody asks you, MF, about me, mm-hmm. you can say, he was a good dude. And that's it. That's it. I just want to be remembered as a good guy.
If you died right now, do you think that people would say that?
I think the numbers are in my favor. I think I probably have more people that might be like, he's a good dude.
Keep it real, bro. Stroke your horn. It's okay.
No. There's quite a few people who would have different opinions.
You think majority would rule though? Like on the favor?
I think I'm getting there. I've inflicted. You don't know me, man. You don't know who I was, bro. I've inflicted some pain in my life, and so I'm searching for karma points at this point. I'm trying to tip the scales in the other direction, and I don't think I can judge how much work that's going to take. So I might as well keep working until I don't have anything left, and hope that I change the score, that I got out the negative. But that's all it's about. I want to be remembered fondly. I want my funeral to be a motherfucking occasion, my nigga. Like, I want dope people to get around and have dope conversations about how dope I fucking was. That's how egotistical this whole thing is. So every time I'm nice, it's because I want at some point when you think about me, that it'd be a good memory, that it'd be a fond memory, that you know. And if ever somebody was to ask you, that J-Dot dude, you know, what was he about? You don't got to say he was a god amongst men. He was the best of us. He was a good dude. And that's it. And it is all about that. It's all about the after. Because this shit is short. Like they said in the podcast, we all moving in the same direction.
Oh, yes, we are.
We all headed to the same place. Oblivion. Heaven. I don't know. I don't.
I thought about. I need to get back up to the mic. I thought about.
You like the Temptations? You got to come back to the mic,
right?
No matter what move you do, always come back to the mic.
You always got to hit that diaphragm. Hey, ladies.
You got to hit the diaphragm. Oh man.
Diaphoresis. Those rocks are beautiful.
He's not talking about crack.
Not crack. Not today. No more Rolling Stones. Crack, spit, sizzle, boom. On the tip of the pipe, swoon. I thought about like this thing happening with COVID in the world, and like maybe, you know, the universe is constantly expanding, right? And I don't know, my mind can tie things together. The universe is constantly expanding, and we can only see so far as that at this moment, and our technology will continue to progress at the rate of the expansion of the universe to the point where, therefore, we can continue to see the edge of the universe with what technologies we have, right? And be able to, therefore, then determine that it is continuously still expanding, right? So how about like my ideas were like, that's God being like, not yet. Y'all can't see everything yet, right? Give it a minute. Then, like, this string theory, or, you know, this multiverse simulation theory thing and COVID, it all comes together somehow with what I'm saying. But, you know, like, maybe the makers of this simulation have seen that some of us, or a party of us, or an individual is about to break that code. And it will become like the birthing from the Matrix, right? And they're like, we can't let that happen. But we can't let them know this either. Like, we got to make it happen without them knowing. So COVID. Wait. COVID Delta. Wait a minute. COVID Charlie. Bravo Echo. I don't know. These are just some thoughts that I had. So I've been cleaned up now.
Yeah, this is what happens when
30 some odd days, but my brain's been coming back to some expansive thought, right?
I don't think it's crazy, man.
I think it's just good thought workouts. You know what I mean? I think that I like that.
That's cool.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think that there are people who should think about this kind of thing. I'm not one of those people.
I fucking love you, dog.
I'm not one of those people. My life, I have to simplify. I have to simplify for self-preservation. This is me. And I only put this on me. I can't go that far. When I go that far, you know, it's overwhelming. It's a lot. Responsibility starts to kick in, and what's my place in this thing, and what am I supposed to be doing?
Well, yeah.
But this is me. So, you know, my life is very much by the book. And you know what book I'm talking about. My life is very much next right decision, and that's it. That's as far as I can look. When I start looking further than that, shit gets weird fast.
I like the fast. I like the fact that, like, I'm back to the point where I can think all the way out there to the very edge.
I like that you like that.
To the very edge of what we can see, and then consider what's on the other side of that, right? While still wanting to do the next right thing.
The world needs both people. It needs people that are all the way out there, and it needs people that are maybe right here.
But I don't take you as that. I take you as being one of those guys. I take you as being the gentleman that finds pleasure in conversating about philosophy, even abstract philosophies.
I enjoy having dope conversations with dope people. But 9 times out of 10, you're listening to me develop an opinion on the fly, because it's not something that I've ever had an inclination to.
Have you ever taken any physics courses? With any of your university work or your
college work? I took physics. I was a biomed.
That's right. And you completed that?
No, sir.
How did you feel about the physics?
Fuck school. How did I feel about physics? I felt about physics the same way I felt about calculus, same way I felt about all that other shit.
Mm-hmm.
If I reached a point in my studies where I understood how any of that applied to my profession or life in general,
yes, sir,
I would appreciate it, but yeah. I never got to that point. It was just a bunch of theoretical nonsense. And here's
I think you're about to do it.
We're about to dip down another rabbit hole real quick. We got to shut this off at some point. I had this conversation with my mother, who is an educator, is a teacher, taught 11th grade English. I don't like the way we teach. And especially
nobody does anymore.
Especially at the levels of like calculus and physics. So
do you think those are too abstract to be taught, like for a purpose of being a biomed engineer or being a doctor?
No, I don't think they're medicine? Too abstract. I think they're absolutely essential to performing those job functions. What I do think is that, like, the way Pythagoras, who discovered the Pythagorean theorem.
Pythagorean theorem, right.
Right. He had to come up with that theorem because prior to that, there was not a way to calculate.
To get the information he was trying to get. Correct.
And so then we teach it, but we teach it in my experience and everywhere I've been. Maybe hopefully there's some place that teaches it differently. But we teach it almost as memorization. Like, don't worry about why this is. This just is. So if you need this information, you do this.
You know,
and what's to me, that eliminates the possibility of someone coming behind and saying, this theorem is good.
Expanding it, bro.
But
let's graduate.
It could be better, or it could be streamlined, or it could be made to be more efficient, because we don't a lot of times teach the theory or the concept behind the stuff that we just want people to memorize, because everything's, you got to do it now. You got to do it fast. So you can't think about what it is you're thinking about.
We live in a microwave society.
You just got to process it through the stuff we've already told you to process it through.
But isn't that so dope, though, that there was somebody that was like, I need to, there is no way. Let me look what I did.
Yeah.
But not look what I did. Like, hey, guys, look what I did. But Eureka, I've found a way to get what I'm doing to the next level, right? And, you know, the crazy part about it, so while I was in my last rehabilitation stay, right, I had a person reach up from the back of the class and say, you know, I had an issue, because we were talking about, you know, for those that understand, like, second step, third step conversation. And they were like, you know, I kind of think about it like when I was taking these physics and these math courses, like, who's to say that that's what this sign means, right? Like, questioning, you know, Delta and you know, the sign, and like, who the fuck is to say that shit? I don't know. I think it was, I'd never thought about somebody looking at it that way before. And I was like, wow, that's pretty, You don't know what you know. And what you know is pretty powerful to that person. I didn't share this with him, but
perspective is powerful. I think the question is stupid. That's what I'm gonna say. It means what the fuck it means. Like, it means what it means. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a letter E is E. Now, if you want to invent another language, if you want to try to figure out why we made that the symbol for E, there's probably a discussion behind that. But
it there fucking, is, and I'm that guy that wants to know.
It fucking means what it means. Like, you know, just, you know, you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. You may discover your own way to do it, but there's, I hate this mentality that, I don't want to say hate, strong word, wrong word. I dislike questioners for the sake of questioning. Like,
can you differentiate between those who are questioning for the sake of questioning versus those who are questioning because they want to know about how E was derived?
So, and that's the difference in the question. Like, it's the difference between saying, who says that it means that, and saying, why does it mean that? Two different questions. One is challenging the intelligence or the validity of something that exists, and the other is trying to seek more information about something that exists.
Bro, I'm so hungry. I don't think that I'll ever be satisfied, man.
Yeah, you can keep digging down the why rabbit hole, but why, you know, why something exists and challenging is, I think.
I see what you're saying, though.
You know, there's so much now that it's like, if something exists, if there's a thought, if there's a tradition, if there's a thing that existed, that we got to somehow be different from it because it's old and we shouldn't do old things. We got to do new things or something. And, you know. My mom used to have a thing she used to tell me, because she and I will both use the phrase, I hate cliches. But then she'll follow that with, but some things are cliche for a reason. Some statements get repeated over and over again because they're true and there's truth in them.
Right.
So just because something is old and it's existed and it's a way of thinking that's gone on for several years doesn't mean it's a flawed way of thinking. You know, it may have survived for this long because it's true and it's accurate. Now, if you want to understand where it came from, that is one thing. But to challenge its validity just because of its age, I don't like that.
Have you ever wondered what? Oh man, I'm about to rip you up on some things. When I say rip you up, I don't mean like rip you up. What I mean is, like, I'm about to take you down a hole and we're not going to go there.
So no, what we're going to do is we're going to close this show out and we're going to keep talking. I ain't got nothing to do.
Shout out to P.F. Chang.
Shout out to P.F. Chang.
P.F. Chang is calling my name. All right, thank
so
you, Jamie.
Normal calls to action. MF, do you have anything you want to talk, tell the people before we
catch for anybody here who may hear this. Again, that was down with me in CC Texas over there at Charlie's place. I just want to say whoop whoop. That was my silent pause for you to go whoop whoop back in the background, and also you guys know who you are because that's how metal gets down. Much love, much respect. I fucking adore everybody at that place, from clients to staff to the walls to the toilet paper sheets. Like, wow. And you know, it's 2:22. That's a beautiful time.
Shout out to Charlie's place. Typical calls to action. If you are looking for a way to cleanse yourself from this conversation, if you need to get this shit out your body and somehow be a new and whole person, my homie Zaya Fitness, Z-A-Y-A-H Fitness on Instagram, he can get you there where you need to be with your nutrition and your fitness goals. He'll get you all on your veganism stuff. He'll tell you where all the vegan hotspots are in Austin, if that's where you are. But Z-A-Y-A-H Fitness on Instagram, hit him up. He'll get you where you need to be.
He'll be making you feel yourself again.
If you're looking for ways to be impactful, if you want to be your brother's keeper, if you want to be the butterfly that flapped his wings and caused the thunderstorm in Times Square, hit up ttcharities.org. They always have something going on, always trying to take care of their folks and the world in general. Donate what you can. Time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a very long way. TTCharities.org. Please hit them up and see how you can help. And then as always, what is TWS.com? DefineFunctional.com. There will be more Define Functional episodes. MF will probably be on them because I can see these conversations turn into this kind of thing. But hit up the websites. If you want to support this show, I have merch. You can help me buy some new gear. You can help me take Chef Elise to Disney World or something. Like, you can change my life. You can help me not have to sift through shit every day for $500. But hit up whatistws.com. Got merch in the store. I put up new shirts every other day. If I say it twice, I make a shirt out of it. But coupon code algorithm will get you 20% off your entire order. So please hit up the store and cop something. But with that being said, we're going to head out of here. I'm going to lead out. You know, rest in peace, Biz Markie. We lost one. I was going to try to do some sort of a flex and try to play like a deep album cut from Biz Markie to show how much of a fan I was. But that shit isn't cool. This isn't about me. This is about him and his legacy and the fact that he will be missed. So we're going to go with something that everybody knows, that everybody has fond memories of. And hopefully this is a song that when you think about Biz Markie, you say to yourself, that was a good dude. So until we speak again, be safe, be the light, and I love y'all.
Then when I asked, do you have a man, she tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on. I'm not even going for it. This is what I'm going to say. You got what I need. But you say he just a friend. And you say he just a friend. Oh!